I'd like to share with you one more passage from the Word of God this evening. This comes not from the Gospel stories of Jesus' birth and life, but from the first letter written by John, who I'm sure you know was one of his apostles, one of his biographers. He wrote John's Gospel, but also wrote this letter, which characterizes the love of God for the world. John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Whoever loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And God showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. And this is what love is. It's not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven." Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made perfect in us. Dear friends, let us love one another. I hope you'll agree with me that that sounds like a good idea. That whatever else you think of the Bible and its teaching, of Christianity and its claims, of Jesus himself, that those words are ones with which none of us would disagree. Dear friends, let us love one another. If only the anguished gunmen of the United States of America, or the fervent suicide bombers of Baghdad or Afghanistan, or the bank managers of the Western world, or the media's phone-tapping journalists, if only they could learn to love one another instead of to exploit, to steal, and to kill, then the world would surely be a better place. So if all it took was good advice, then this would be good enough. Let us love one another. And when better to give and receive that advice than at Christmas time, when there's something in the air that seems to make it happen, when perfect strangers go about hugging each other, when passing acquaintances exchange gifts, when people you haven't seen for more than 30 years send you a greeting card, even when stamps have gone up to 50 pence each. When even grown men are sometimes heard to sing. The Christmas spirit of peace and goodwill is a visible expression of love. And this suggestion we have in front of us this evening comes from John. It comes from what is really a Christmas Bible reading. Not, as I said earlier, one of the gospel accounts of angels and wise men and shepherds and mangers, but one of these more reflective passages, an after-the-event analysis of what it means or how it applies or what it signifies once it starts to sink in. Dear friends, let us love one another. And John goes on to explain that that's possible because love comes from God, and in practice, for God, that meant that he showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world. And that tells us two things. It tells us, first of all, that he already had someone to send. So that what John shared with us when he opened his gospel by telling us that the Word in the beginning was with God and was God before he became flesh and lived among us. It's something he's sticking to by the time he gets to his letter, that the baby in the manger was the coming into the world of one who was with God before the world began. But second, it also tells us that this coming was loving. And coming by itself is not always loving. If a strange man was to enter your house at midnight, well, you would want to know why he came. If he has come wearing a red suit and a white beard to leave presents behind, then of course it's loving. But if he's actually come to take things away, which I would suggest to you is perhaps the more likely explanation, at least in 364 nights of the year, then that's not loving at all. But this coming was loving. Because Jesus didn't come as a tourist to entertain himself. He didn't come as a salesman to gain something from us to his own advantage. He came because God loves us and wants to do something for us, wants us to have something, wants us to share something, wants us to enjoy something of his. And the passage goes on to tell us what that is, so that we might have life through him, says John. And also how he does it. God sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. So even tonight at Christmas time, God has Easter in mind, Christ's death on the cross that takes our sins away. But you might wonder, what kind of love is this? What kind of Christmas celebration is this that thinks already about the cross? What kind of love is it that's finding fault with people? If at Christmas time even someone like me can hug complete strangers without first checking their moral credentials, then why cannot God just overlook sin instead of sending a Son whose job it is to draw our attention to all our mistakes and all our problems and all our failings and tell us all the worst things he knows about us? Well, the answer is that God's hopes for us are higher than our own. That he finds fault with the things that we have learned to accept, because he will only accept the best. And the simple truth is that he could have preserved his own high standards simply by keeping his distance from us, by building a peace wall between him and us. But instead, he sent his Son to cross that great divide and make that connection between him and us. So let us love one another. No one could say that's not a good idea, but what is it that's stopping us? What doesn't let it happen? The gunman's anger, the zealot's patriotism, the financier's greed, the reporter's reader's appetite, all that is wrong in or wrong with other people, all that is wrong in and with us. And so what John is giving us here is not so much a command, let us love one another, as permission. Let us love one another because we can, as children of God, as those who know God, because love comes from God. Now, that could mean that everyone is a child of God, because at the end of the day, we're all loving in some way or other. No matter how many bad things we've done or evil thoughts they've had, there remains a chink of goodness in every single one of them that if we look hard enough, we can identify it. But what John really means is this, that the little that we call love, with which we try to satisfy ourselves, the love we make, the love we feel, the love we share at Christmas time, is good because it's an imitation of something better, and no more than a crude imitation of the real love of God. It's like a child's doll compared with the real baby in the manger. It looks the part until you've seen the real thing and know the difference. And that reality is what God's children discover. That the love with which God loves us by sending his Son into the world to deal with sin is also the love which ends up within us as our love for others, but begins within us as our love for him. So the Son of God has come to us as the baby in the manger. And the question for us tonight is how we are coming back to him. Are we coming to him like the tourist who wants to see something satisfying we've never seen before? Or coming like the salesman, hoping we can trade with him and get something more by giving something back? Or are we coming because we're learning to love him, already persuaded by his love for you? That alone will let us love one another, because all love comes from God.